Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this 21st Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, The Great Ordeal. Here's Grayson and Charlotte with our scripture reading.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed those are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure hearts, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for their kingdom for their kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people reveal and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, your reward is in great heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you.
Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, robed in white? Where have they come from? I said to him, Sir, you are the one that knows that. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Now, it might seem a little odd to look to the book of Revelation for a word of comfort as we begin yet another week of what has proven itself to be a very difficult year. The pandemic rages on months longer than any of us anticipated. Hospitalizations are on the rise. Statistics are really not looking encouraging. The political season continues to heat up with attack ads and scandals to report each and every day, it seems. And on top of all this, we're all struggling with the normal, ordinary challenges that life brings our way. In times like these, we expect our preachers to offer a word of comfort and healing, a word of hope and assurance that things are going to be okay. We expect to hear from the prophet Isaiah, comfort, comfort my people. We expect to hear Jesus' words echoed, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Those are the words that we expect to hear, that we long to hear, that we need to hear from our rich faith tradition. We might expect those kinds of words on a day like today. Not the words from Revelation. And yet the lectionary offered it to us in this season of grief and struggle and, well, even loss. Technically, the reading for today is scheduled for next week's All Saints' Day, as is the Matthew text that we heard read a few moments ago, but seeing as we are Baptist, and we're not really bound to the strict following of the schedule of readings that other traditions may be, we are free to follow the Spirit who sometimes nudges us toward a text, maybe even a week early. And so today we hear a good word from the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation is one of the most difficult books in the Bible for us to read, as it's oh so unfamiliar. It's seldom used in devotional literature. It's seldom preached. It only occurs in the lectionary a handful of times. Perhaps because of this void, what we often think of when we remember the book of Revelation comes from the mouths of street preachers who are warning the end is near. Or our thoughts about the book of Revelation come from fictional interpretations like the 1990s hit book series Left Behind. And while the book may offer some vivid imagery about the end of the world as we know it, there are also close readings of the text that view it as a narrative commentary on the historical moment during which the author was living. For that reason, we now must read and interpret this strange book with two lenses. We can find within it hope for our eternal salvation and a glimpse into the past. You see, when John wrote from exile, he had lived through a season of great distress, a season of violence and brutal punishment for any kind of rebellion against the Roman Empire. Remember, these were the years of the first Jewish revolt. There was devastation and the temple was destroyed. Rome brutally persecuted those who were causing any kind of problem, and the memory of Jesus' cross was fresh in the community of believers. They were well aware that the brutality did not end with Jesus, as there were many, many martyrs in that day. And within the new and emerging church, there was also discord and division as they tried to figure out where and if there needed to be a distinction between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. This was not an easy time to be a follower of Jesus. You know, I wonder if many people asked if they would get through it, if things would ever be the same again. Where was God in the midst of their suffering? And from that very real lived experience of suffering, the author of Revelation has a vision. And in the vision, he sees angels standing on the corners of the earth, holding back destructive winds and seas that were ready to wipe all of creation away, until one angel says, "Hold on. Let us first redeem those who are the servants of God." Now, the ancient audience might have expected what comes next in Revelation. 144,000 are named, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. That was predictable. But the angel didn't stop there. Next, there was an innumerable multitude, the text says, from every tribe and nation, from every language and location, all crying out and worshiping God. These were the servants of God. And now this is starting to sound a little bit like Pentecost, as those who met the criteria of being named servant of God seemed to surprise even the one who's telling the story. Who are all these people? The author wants to know. Well, they're the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes, and now they dwell safely in the house of God, in the temple of Yahweh, under the protection of God's own tent. And there, they hunger and thirst no more. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that these worshipers, they were not transported there on stretchers, she writes. They've come out on their own 2 feet. They have furthermore washed their own robes. And it's possible that the robes of those standing before the throne needed washing because, you know, seeing as they were likely persecuted by Rome, or perhaps even martyred by Rome, perhaps they were wet with their own blood. Taylor's words make me wonder about the dirt that we might have on our own robes. I wonder if this is what Jesus was warning the disciples about when he spoke to them during that very first sermon after he called them to be his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you. It seems Jesus knew that the experiences of life and discipleship would be full of all kinds of struggle, trial, and loss. Whether he was talking about his ministry with those first disciples in Galilee, warning them of what would come, or whether he was talking about the early church under the Roman Empire, or whether he was talking about the Christians of North Raleigh in the time of COVID-19. Our lives are all characterized by episodes that to us feel like John's great ordeal. Seasons of incredible hardship when we feel like this might just be the end. Seasons in which we cannot seem to find hope. Seasons in which our robes are adorned with the dirt and the dust and sometimes even the blood from the wounds that life has inflicted upon us. You know, this week, as I was contemplating the text, I saw a post on Facebook. It featured a close-up picture of a mom's face. And the expression on her face, the exhaustion in her eyes, validated the truth of the statement that she'd typed in for the post. Here are her words. The very tired face of pandemic parenting, or as I like to call it, Extreme Parenting COVID Edition. Who's on the struggle bus with me? Because y'all, this is exhausting. You could probably guess that this post generated a lot of engagement. Folks chiming in with hand claps and likes and comments saying things like, OMG, I am so tired. I feel like I'm hanging on to the bumper of the struggle bus. Me too. Hang in there, somebody said. And then another comment, forget hanging on. I'm being dragged by the coattails behind the struggle bus. This thread was filtered with GIFs and emojis animating exhaustion and struggle and surrender to the whim of that struggle bus, dragging them, pulling them, driving them wherever it wanted to go. Now, some of us might not have used this exact same metaphor. Some of us may not have known what the struggle bus was until right now as you Google it during the sermon. But everybody seems to be struggling with something. If it isn't school and work, like the moms on Facebook were confessing that day, it's loneliness and depression. It's caring for loved ones who are struggling. It's dealing with illness or a grueling treatment plan. It's planning for the worst, but hoping for the best. It's happening in our world. It's happening in our personal lives, and it's happening in our church, too. To use the words from that Facebook post, it's Extreme Church COVID Edition. This is our current great ordeal, and it's making us wonder if there's any hope to be found. But sooner or later, whether we're reading our Bibles or studying Christian history, we begin to recognize that though there have been so many ordeals in our past, and maybe even in our present, the end, it hasn't come yet. No matter what those street preachers have said, as they have predicted the end, so far at least, God has held off on the destruction of all creation, sounding the words from Revelation, from the angel who said, let us wait and see if we can find a servant of God there. And every time, at least so far, God hasn't let the struggle have the last word. Instead, as we look back on our past, all the way to John's Extreme Church, Roman Persecution Edition, We would also see evidence of God's faithfulness bringing us through all kinds of great ordeals, including some other pandemics. We might call them Extreme Church Black Plague Edition, or Extreme Church Spanish Flu Edition, Extreme Church 9/11 Edition, Extreme Church Ebola Edition, Extreme Church Fill in the Blank Edition. There are numerous examples because God has remained faithful to the body of Christ throughout history, through all kinds of struggles, and God will remain faithful to us now. So when we feel like giving up, when we feel like our hope is lost, when we wonder if the end is near, if the struggle bus is going to run away with us, when we are not sure if tomorrow will ever come, maybe what we need to do is to reread from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, and remind ourselves that whatever scars and marks of change we bear as a congregation, whatever dirt we might have on the robes that we wear, whatever stress, whatever fatigue, whatever exhaustion we wear as an outward sign of this struggle, there is a spring up ahead, bubbling up with the water of life. And we will get there together, led by the Good Shepherd, who is working here and now to ensure that we are being restored, transformed, and maybe even being made completely new. Amen.